From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Thursday is the day we read from your email.
So here we go, and we start with this from Nancy Thorne of Highland Village, Texas. She heard Ann Garrell's story from Baghdad yesterday.
I was out for a safe and comfortable walk with my dog, she writes, when Ann Garrell's report came on the air. As I listened, I could feel the tension rising, and at one point stood riveted as she described Captain Peterson's race back to the damaged Sunni mosque while bullets whizzed around him and his soldiers. Her vivid and courageous reporting helped me see more clearly the incredible bravery of our military, the dreadful peril they are in, and the hopelessness of the situation, where so much hatred and corruption overwhelm the best of intentions.
Earlier this week, Michelle spoke with Tracy Manser, a reporter for the Long Beach Press-Telegram, about the trial of 10 young African Americans accused of assaulting three white girls on Halloween. One defendant was acquitted. Tracy Manser used the word accosted to describe the crime, and so did we, and that upset some listeners.
Patricia Mullins of Culver City, California writes, "In fact, bones were broken, and one woman was beaten unconscious. The assault was more than kids tossing miniature pumpkins, and your reporter should have said so."
Matt Barron of Chesterfield, Massachusetts, heard Michelle's story on opposition research and political campaigns, and it struck a personal chord. "Thank you for airing the story on opposition research," he writes, "but I deeply resent the characterization of my work as digging up dirt. The only dirt I dig up is in my vegetable garden. As an opposition researcher since 1980, I uncover facts."
We got mixed reaction to our coverage of the two men who were charged with putting up those electronic cartoon ads in Boston, the ones that caused such a scare last week. We aired some of the news conference these men gave, the one in which they refused to talk about anything except haircuts in the 1970s.
For example, Afro, I think, comes kind of from the 70s. But then again, there's other styles, like the greased up hair, when they actually use grease, and I'm not totally sure where that comes from.
Lori Lichtenberg of Shelton, Connecticut, heard that, and this is what she had to say.
"You allowed the two guerrilla marketers their 15 minutes of fame. Their adolescent talk of hairstyles was beyond insulting, and to have to hear it repeated several times was demeaning. I hope that NPR does not intend on reducing their reports to the level of this new generation that does not have a worldview beyond their immediate surroundings."
But John Romero of New Iberia, Louisiana, had a different take. He writes, "I listened with amusement to the press conference held for the young men arraigned in Boston. I thought their response to the press was apropos to the city's overzealous response to a simple ad campaign. Surely someone has mentioned to Boston's mayor by now that every time he opens his mouth to whine about the issue, he's only providing that much more national advertising exposure. Thanks for great extended coverage of the press conference."
Finally, a letter about our sound clip from Mark Woods of Jacksonville, Florida. He sent us this sound from New Orleans. Janine Perry of Fayetteville, Arkansas, writes, "The rhythmic pounding sound of the Ninth Ward's levee being rebuilt did indeed sound like music to our one-year-old twins. When the piece played, they both stopped eating to give the sound their full attention. Then, in perfect simultaneity, they rocked their bodies like they were at a club. They cannot, of course, understand destruction and heartache on such a massive scale, but they shared the contributor's wonder at the musical sound of recovery. Thank you."
And thanks to all of you for writing. As always, if you have something you want to tell us about our program, go to npr.org and click on Contact Us at the top of the page.